Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I am particularly touched by the readings over the last number of days. The material for every program is so rich that I cannot even begin to cover it all. So I'm making choices here, and hopefully I'm giving you what will be most helpful to you. Today's readings have a great deal to do with giving and receiving forgiveness. This is one of the biggest stumbling blocks, and I've spoken about it before so many times, but it is, if not the biggest stumbling block, it may well be to our receiving forgiveness, to our being able to open ourselves to Christ, to become a sign of His presence in the life of others. Many times it is unforgiveness that is at the root of it. Let's take a look at these readings, because here during Lent, if you're holding on to unforgiveness, that is the biggest area you need to deal with. The rest is cosmetic, to put it bluntly. If you're dealing with unforgiveness, that's what you need to put at the top of your list. And don't go anywhere else until you've dealt with it. It takes some time. But if you do, a lot of other things will be set free in your life. For the readings today, let's take a look at them, but I'm going to focus on the forgiveness aspect. First reading is from the prophet Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, and then verses 34 to 43. Azariah stood up in the fire. Remember that the three young men in the fiery furnace. So one of them was Azariah. He stood up in the fire and he prayed, "For your name's sake, O Lord, do not deliver us up forever or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us for the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the stars of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation. We're brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no burnt offering, no sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruits to find favor with you." Now notice, he's in the fire where he's saying this. "But with contrite heart and humbled spirit, let us be received. As though it were burnt offerings of rams and bullocks or thousands of fat lambs, let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly, for those who trust in you cannot be put to shame." Go to the Eucharist as frequently as you can. Offer yourself as Christ offered himself on the cross to his Father for our behalf. Unite yourself with Christ. "And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame. Deal with us in your kindness and your great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name, O Lord." And God heard that prayer right there. Prayer for forgiveness while you're in a fiery furnace, supposedly being burned to death, until God intervened. "Remember your mercies, O Lord." How merciful has God been? Recall the times God has been merciful to you. And again, let me repeat, if you hold on forgiveness, that's where you've got to start. It is the biggest obstacle to union with God. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him?" Notice that. How often must I forgive him? "As many as seven times." That was kind of a perfect number. And Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servants fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. And when that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. And he seized him. He started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Think of what God has forgiven you. And then look at your relationships with others. Are you exacting something from them when God has had mercy on you? Are you exacting something from them that's outrageous? Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed. And they went to their master and they reported the whole affair. So his master summoned this unworthy servant, and he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Couldn't Jesus say that to us today if we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts? I forgave you everything. When you came to me in the sacrament of reconciliation, I forgave you everything. And you're going to withhold forgiveness from another? Brothers and sisters, this is very, very serious and very hard to do. And the longer you hold on to a grudge, the longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the harder it is. But if you decide to forgive, God will supply. No matter how hard it is, God will supply the grace and you will experience the chains being broken. I promise you that. Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. And so will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. Really forgive, not just, oh, I forgive you. No, I make the decision to forgive you, to let it go, to drop the load. You'll be amazed at what God will do. Magnificat magazine carries a short essay here that I want to share with you as it is. It's written by a woman, Wilma Dirksen, from Canada, who experienced the death of her 13-year-old daughter who was murdered in 1984 in Winnipeg, Canada, on her way home from school. So here's a woman who's experienced one of the worst possible things. She and her husband, and I'm mentioning her name because she's the one who wrote this. She and her husband experienced just about the worst possible thing, to have your own flesh and blood murdered, and as a child. This is what she said. The day Candace's body was found, all our friends came to visit, bringing warm food with them. There was so much love in the house that it helped us get through that day. And then at around 10:30 that evening, when most people had left, there was a knock on the door, and this stranger stood there. And he told us, I'm the parent of a murdered child, too. He was saying we now belonged to an exclusive club that no one wants to belong to. We invited him to the kitchen table. For the next 2 hours, remember they had just heard of the death of their daughter. For the next 2 hours, he told us in vivid detail everything he'd lost. His health, his relationships, his concentration, his ability to work. He had even lost all memory of his daughter because now he could only think of the murder, the trauma, and the hate that had followed. My husband, Cliff, and I went to bed that night horrified by the graphic picture that he had painted. Having just begun to experience the pain of losing our daughter, it now seemed we might lose everything else as well. And so we made a decision that night that we would respond differently. We chose the path of forgiveness. Little did I know that the word forgiveness would haunt me for the next 30 years, prod me, guide me, heal me, label me, enlighten me, imprison me, free me, and in the end, define me. I was right out there in public, confessing to everyone the desire of my heart. For me, forgiving has been about turning what has happened to us into good. Forgiveness is not just a one-off event, nor does it mean you're doing the same thing again and again. The issues of Candace's murder present themselves differently every day. Forgiveness is a fresh, ongoing, ever-present position of the mind, which takes on many different forms. It's a promise of what we want to do. She and her husband are living a life of forgiveness, choosing day in and day out to forgive. And as she says, forgiveness now defines her. She is walking in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They don't really understand. Forgive them. And through the merits of Jesus Christ on the cross, that couple and countless others that I have read about made the decision to forgive. And it made their lives incredibly fruitful. And there was a little less of hatred and anger and bitterness in the world as a result of what I call heroes and heroines. What about you? What are you clinging to? How long have you harbored unforgiveness in your heart? You know, it can warp us. It really can. Forgiveness, offering forgiveness, does not mean it doesn't matter. It does not mean it's not important. But forgiveness breaks the chains that destroy, that choke the life out of us compared to what God wants to give us. Because we won't forgive, we can't receive all the love and the life and the hope that God wants to give us. It's an incredible decision of faith. But for those of you listening to this program who harbor unforgiveness, I ask you today to go before the Lord and to say, Lord, I can't forgive on my own. I can't do this. Will you help me? Will you change me so that I can be set free? Sometimes we don't want to be set free. We want to harbor the revenge and the hatred and the bitterness. But that's really death. What you want is life. And God desires to give it to those who make a decision. You won't feel it right away, to make a decision to forgive. I will pray for all of you. May God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.